Welcome to the Abbot Lou Community Church Podcast. ALCC is a multi-generational church committed to building a growing community reaching Anchorage, Alaska, and the world with the saving message of Jesus Christ.
We at ALCC invite you to come grow with us and hope that this message speaks to you from the heart of God.
In Romans chapter 3, verse 3, it says that if we are unfaithful, does that mean that God will also be unfaithful? It says that if we are unfaithful, that God is still faithful. It's just like this song, right? That His love never fails. It never gives up. Just all the time, even in the midst of our unfaithfulness, God has a way of just continuing to be faithful all the time. And He never gives up on you and me, no matter what we do. How great of a God do we serve? Right? That's so good. Come on, God is that good. He's that good. When you doubt, when you're frustrated, when you've made mistakes, God is still faithful. He still loves you. He never stops pursuing you with His love. Best place for you to be when you blow it is right in the arms of your Father who loves you. Amen. Right? Let's just pray. God, thank You. Your love never fails. God, it never gives up. God, it never runs out. You can't tap the bank account. It's just forever and ever and ever. No matter how unfaithful we are, God, Your faithfulness penetrates through our unfaithfulness, and God, You glorify Yourself there. So we lift You up today, and we honor You and give You glory for Your faithfulness, for Your goodness, for Your continuing love, God. There's no one like You. We need You, Jesus. We honor You today. Amen. Today we're going to talk about God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness. And that even when, like Romans 3, verse 3, we're just reading, that we are unfaithful, God is faithful. His faithfulness penetrates through our unfaithfulness. True, some of them were unfaithful, but just because they were unfaithful, does that mean God will be unfaithful? The answer is no. This is in the context I'm talking about the Israelites and their whole trials and struggles, and that even though God chose them and He decided to work through them and all the things He was doing through them, and they were unfaithful over and over and over, right? God just had a way of continuing to glorify Himself and get His sovereign will done, even through imperfect people, because He's that good. He's that loving that He didn't put the weight and responsibility of His entire kingdom moving forward on our shoulders. That's a pretty good God. Are you with me? Who wants to carry that weight? Not me. I'm telling you, the problems I have in my own life to struggle being faithful with are hard enough. I don't know about you. But to carry the weight of the whole world and all the responsibility of moving the whole kingdom forward, that's pretty tough. Here's one of the things that I want to help us do today is lay some theology, you might say, into our hearts and minds to give us a foundation, a better starting place for us, so that as we're moving on through life, we don't struggle with this giant guilt, shame, and condemnation burden because we're taking on responsibilities that don't belong to us. You with me? Even in your unfaithfulness, even in Abraham's unfaithfulness, God was still faithful, right? Even in David's unfaithfulness, God was still faithful. At one point, God calls Abraham and He draws him, and Abraham responds in faithfulness, right? And it's all good until he's not patient enough. And he takes the promise for himself, and he takes the slave girl, the servant girl Hagar, into his tent, and then they have Ishmael, right? But was God still faithful? Yeah. God promises David, his descendants are going to be on the throne forever and ever and all this stuff, and He's going to bring the line of the Messiah through David. I mean, there's some pretty awesome promises God gives David, and David's doing really good. In fact, he's doing way better than his, cohort before him, Saul. But then he takes Bathsheba from the rooftop and murders her husband. Serious unfaithfulness. But even in the midst of his unfaithfulness, was God still faithful? He was. In fact, if you read the book of Matthew, the very first chapter, and you read through all the list of all the folks that God brought through the lineage, God brought Jesus, the Messiah, through, they're a bunch of jokers, smokers, and tokers. Maybe they didn't toke. I don't know what they were doing. But they had problems. Every single one of them is this beautiful, redemptive story. It's amazing that God chose all these messed up people to bring the line of the Messiah through. You kind of think, wouldn't God pick all the most perfect people we can imagine? You'd think so, but that's not the God that we serve. We serve a God that's His faithfulness is not dependent on our faithfulness. That's really good news. Really good news. Because it doesn't rest on you and it doesn't rest on me. So if that's true, then why in the world would we ever want to do anything that's right? Come on. We got to reconcile that, don't we? If it doesn't rest on us getting everything perfect so then God moves and His favor pours out and He moves His sovereign kingdom forward, then why do we do good things at all? Because He first loved us. And because righteousness is our earthly reward. When we get a walk in righteousness, it's for our benefit. When we get a partner with God, it's for our benefit. That partnership with the Holy Spirit cultivates intimacy with Him. And you know when you work alongside somebody, what starts to happen? You ever been on a job with somebody for a long time? Or you marry somebody
and you've been with them for a long time?
You ever catch yourself having some of their mannerisms? You actually like, my wife cannot stand it when I work with other people. It drives her crazy, especially people with extreme personalities. Because I'm like a chameleon, and I soak up all their personality, little traits and quirks and things, and I just start doing them. And I can't stop myself, barely can hardly stop myself. It's so fun. It is so fun. She's like, who are you? I had this one friend, and I'm just going to rabbit trail for a moment. It means nothing to my message. He used to point at his broken tooth, and he'd like, how you like me now? Whenever he'd like get the better of me in some way. And so I was doing that to Joni all the time. It's killing her. It's killing her. Yeah, this guy with two-hand dunk it on me. We're playing one-on-one basketball, and he like hang on the rim. How you like me now, yo? I'm like, I don't like you very much at all. But then I go away, start doing the same thing he was doing. It's so weird. You spend time alongside somebody, working with them, right? All of a sudden, you start to pick up mannerisms, right? I don't know how many of you guys work like this. It's my favorite way. Like, what are you doing? I'm just working. Okay, whatever. You work alongside somebody, you start to become like them. Well, listen, you co-work and co-labor with the Holy Spirit, and you pursue righteousness, and you're leading your life with the Holy Spirit. Guess what? He rubs off on you. You start to become like Him. It's a good thing. That you do like. She loves it when I spend time with the Holy Spirit. Right? And how you like me now? Right? It's good. But see, God doesn't want us to feel like we have to carry the weight of the responsibility of the entire world and the kingdom moving forward on us. Because guess what? You will be unfaithful. That's so encouraging, Pastor. I can't believe how encouraging you're being right now. It's true. You're going to blow it. You might do a really good job for a long time like David, but then guess what? You're going to trip, you're going to fall, you're going to stumble, you're going to make a mistake, just like me. We're all going to do it. So then what? Well, Romans 3, true, some of them were unfaithful, but just because they were unfaithful does not mean that God will be unfaithful. We serve a God that understands that we will be unfaithful. And when He made us in the garden, when He created us, He has this really cool thing called foreknowledge, which I think confuses a lot of us because He can see from the beginning, He can see the end. In fact, He's not even in the beginning and the end. Before there was a beginning and the end, He was. And we can barely wrap our little pea brains around that. Your brains are bigger than peas. Mine's a peas. Mine's a pea. Yours are walnuts or something, okay? Mine's smaller, yours bigger. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not trying to accuse you of having small brains. Compared to God, our brains are like peas. I'm just kidding. For us to see that God has this thing completely under control, and we have a specific responsibility, and that's to co-labor and partner with the Holy Spirit, not to carry the weight of all the responsibility to move the kingdom forward. This understanding that God knows from the beginning and the end that He's going to carry out this whole plan and penetrate through our unfaithfulness all the time. He's still going to move His sovereign kingdom forward. Give us the ability to step back and take a breath. Let the weight come off and say, God, I trust You. Right, God? I trust You that You're going to be faithful even when I'm not. Amen? Let's pray. God, we're asking that You will just open up our hearts, minds, strengthen us, God. Bring fresh revelation today. God, let this be just another message, God. But this would truly change the way we think and how we understand You to be, that we could walk in revelation, God. We could walk in a new life, God, trusting that, God, You will be faithful even when we blow it. That You will be faithful even when we are not. God, increase our trust, and we honor You today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So let's just look at the life of Peter if we can. All right, we see Peter in the book of Matthew. We see Jesus interacting with Peter and giving him a really cool promise that really I think we get to carry together as a church and carry on together as a church. In Matthew 16, verse 16, Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." This is in reply to Jesus asking him, "Who do they say I am?" Right? And he goes, "You're the Messiah. Who do you think I am, Simon Peter?" He goes, "You're the Messiah," right? "You are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter," which means rock, "and upon this rock, I will build my church. And all the powers of hell will not conquer it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven. And whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven." Wow. Wow. This is a big statement. This is a big promise that Jesus is making to Peter. And I think that probably got Peter's hopes up. Kind of awesome. I'm a rock. I'm like, going to do something great here. Then just a couple verses later, we see Jesus rebuke Peter and says, "Get behind me, Satan." So Peter's on this radical roller coaster, right? He's like, "God says He's going to make me build the church through me and use me in this awesome way." And then he's like, "Call me Satan." I mean, he's really confused. Can you imagine? I mean, how many of y'all ever felt like this? Where you're like, you get a word, a prophetic word from the Lord, or somebody speaks something over you, you know it's life, or you feel God in this worship time speak something to you, you know it's real, and you're like, "God, I know You made me for something great, and You want me to partner with You in some way." But then just 2 minutes later, you take your size 14 shoe and jam it in your mouth. You're like, "Oh God, how could You ever use me? I'm pathetic. I'm terrible. I'm Satan," right? I mean, that's what Peter was saying. "Jesus called me Satan." That'd be a bad day on the scale of all the days you could have when Jesus says, "You're Lucifer, take a hike, get behind me." I mean, that probably wasn't the most confidence building moment for Peter. But you know what? There's one thing that Jesus didn't have in His heart towards Peter when He said that stuff, which we naturally would think. If Jesus said something like that to us, or if I said that to you, which God help me if I ever said that to a human, like I would know, right? Is that you'd probably think that I was disappointed in you. Wouldn't you? I mean, from the outside, when we read this naturally, if we don't take a second to really think about the nature of God and who he really is, we're going to think Jesus was disappointed in Peter for what he said. And that's not true. That's not true. I'll prove it to you. I'll prove it. Prove it. Luke chapter 22, verse 31. We see Jesus with Peter and all the other disciples, right, at the Last Supper. Very important passage in the Bible. So many things that Jesus did in this time were really revealing about his nature and how we're going to move and work with him in the kingdom. And in verse 31, it says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift each of you like wheat. Peter goes, here we go with Satan talk again, right? Verse 32, but I have pleaded in prayer for you, Simon, that your faith should not fail. By the way, Simon is Peter, if I'll make that connection for some of you that might not know, that your faith should not fail. But check this out. So when you have repented and turned to me again, strengthen your brothers. Wait a second. Jesus is telling him, hey, look, I'm praying for you that you make it through this thing because the enemy is coming for you. And I'm praying for you. But then he tells him, when you repent, he doesn't even give him a chance like, you're not going to screw this up. You can do it. He goes, I know you're going to screw it up. He's like, what? And God has foreknowledge. He knows the beginning from the end. So he knew what Peter would do, and he knew how Peter would respond, and he knew Peter needed to be encouraged because Peter needed to know that Jesus was not disappointed in him. Jesus knew that in Peter's unfaithfulness, God, he was going to be faithful. Jesus would be faithful, even in his unfaithfulness, and it didn't rest. God's sovereign plan to build the church and use Peter as a pillar in the church didn't rest on Peter's faithfulness. It rested on God's faithfulness, God's goodness, his ability to glorify himself and work through us as his partners, his co-workers, his ambassadors, right? Peter said, Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and even die with you. Have you all ever felt like this before? You ever felt like this in your life before where you're like, you get out of a good sermon, you get out of a great worship time, you hear a message online or whatever it is, or you're in your prayer time and God gives you a word and you're just like, I can do this. I'm going to be awesome. I'm going to do it. And you get all fired up and you go out there and then you go to work all day and you get really tired and your boss cusses you out. And then you're like, I didn't like this day. It wasn't very good. And I didn't see the fruit of the promise that I thought I was going to get. And you come home and you're like, I'm just going to watch football. Right? God's faithful on Monday nights to watch the Seahawks beat the Saints, right? But even if you're unfaithful to not follow through your promise, God's faithful. We get all fired up. We want to fulfill the thing and the call. But then the next thing we do a lot of times is just like Peter, Jesus tells him again, he goes, Peter, let me tell you something, man. He goes, oh, no. Peter's used to it by now, right? He's like, oh, great, here Jesus goes again. I thought I was there. He was going to like go, yeah, Peter, come on, we can do it. He's all like, no. Check this out, bro. Again, before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you're going to deny me three times that you even know me. Peter's like, what? Jesus goes on to preach another really good sermon about, hey, it wasn't about you, it was about me. You need to trust me. When I sent you guys out, look, it was about me working through you. But just after that, we find Jesus in verse 39. Then, accompanied by the disciples, Jesus left the upstairs room and went, as usual, to the Mount of Olives. There, he told them, pray that you will not give in to temptation. He knew it was coming and he warned them. Look, you're all about to get messed up right now. You need to pray. And so Jesus kneels down and he prays to his Father, Father, willing, take this cup from me. And he prayed so fervently, verse 44, that he was in such agony of the spirit that when his sweat fell to the ground, it was like great drops of blood. That just meant it was big and heavy, right? He was working hard and toiling and grief and anxiety, the Bible says. He was in fear because of what was coming. And he was wrestling. I have to trust the Father. But at verse 45, at last he stood up again and he returned to the disciples only to find them asleep on the job. After he already encouraged them, he already told Peter, you're going to blow this, man. You need to get your A game on here. And no, why are you sleeping? Jesus asked them. Get up and pray so that you will not give in to temptation. And we find Jesus gets arrested. Verse 54, so they arrested him and led him to the highest priest's home. And Peter followed at a distance. The guards lit a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat around it. And Peter joined them there. A servant girl noticed him in the firelight and began staring at him. Right? What you looking at, woman? This man, she says, was one of Jesus' followers. But Peter denied it. Woman, he said. I don't talk to any women this way, by the way. It's a great way to get slapped. Woman, he said, I don't even know him. After a while, someone looked at him and said, you must be one of them. No, man, I'm not, Peter retorted. About an hour later, someone else insisted, this must be one of them because he's a Galilean too. But Peter said, man, I don't know what you're talking about. And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. But check this out. At that moment, the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Suddenly, the Lord's words flashed through Peter's mind. Before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny me three times that you even know me. What did Peter feel at that moment? Shame, guilt, condemnation. And what do you feel if you put yourself in Peter's shoes and when you blow it, what do you feel? What do you instantly feel and you when you feel like the Lord looks at you and sees your sin? Right? What do you feel? Yeah, you feel sad, you feel guilty a lot of times, condemnation, right? These are normal feelings that we feel. But can I just throw this out here for a second? That I don't believe that's the eyes that the Lord looked at Peter with. I believe if we were to look in Jesus' eyes at that moment, knowing the nature of God, and knowing that God knew Peter would be unfaithful, and he told him that beforehand. He said, look, even when you blow it, you're going to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. When you repent, you're going to come back and really strengthen your brothers, and I'm going to use you. And that thing I promised you back in Matthew 16:16, right? I'm going to do that thing through you. Jesus looked at him with eyes of hope, eyes of encouragement. You're going to make it. I'm not disappointed in you. I'm not sad. I knew you were going to do this, man. See, I told you. You're going to make it. Man, we serve a God who is faithful when we're unfaithful. We serve a God who's so full of hope for us, He can see through all our mistakes from the beginning to the end. And He still chooses to use you and me. What a God we serve. Man, come on, right? Right? What a God we serve. A God of hope. A God of destiny. A God of purpose. A God who never gives up. Even when we're unfaithful, He is still faithful. Check this out. So we see John in the book of John. This is so cool. Jesus goes back to kind of dig up his disciples and get them on track after he's resurrected. And then he's going to go and the Holy Spirit's going to come. And so this is one of the last times that we see Jesus with his disciples. And he tells them to throw their net on one side of the boat. They catch a bunch of fish and they go, oh, it's the Lord. And Simon Peter jumps out of the boat and swims to the beach. He's so radical. Love this guy. And Jesus goes in verse 10, John 21, verse 10. Bring some of the fish you just caught, Jesus said to Simon Peter. And he went aboard and dragged the net to shore. There was 153 large fish, and the net had not torn. Now, come and have some breakfast, Jesus said. None of the disciples dared
to ask, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Then Jesus served them bread and the fish. This was the third time Jesus appeared to the disciples, and since he had been raised from the dead. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than these?" I want you to think about this just a little bit. Is what do you do when you blow it royally? You want to hide, right? You and I, we want to run back to the thing we feel qualified to do. Don't we? We make mistakes. We blow it. Simon was called as a fisherman. Jesus called him out. "Hey, you're a fisherman." That's all he knew. He was qualified to be a fisherman. He was not qualified to be a follower of a rabbi. These are not the people rabbi choose to follow them. Tax collectors and fishermen. Jokers, okay? These guys are unqualified. Peter never felt qualified to do what he was doing for the Lord. And when he blew it, the biggest thing he could possibly do was deny Jesus, probably in his mind. He promised Jesus, "I'll be there with you to the end." Jesus goes, "Look, bro, I got to tell you something. You're going to blow it, and I'm going to still have hope for you, and you're going to make it." But somehow Peter didn't get the clue, even when Jesus was resurrected, that Jesus came back to lay this foundation in Peter's life so that he would know. Even though he felt unqualified, he went back to the things that he felt qualified to do, and which is fishing. Jesus said, "Get out of your boat." He said, "Do you love me more than these things? More than you feeling unqualified because of your unfaithfulness? Do you love me enough to allow my faithfulness to penetrate through your unfaithfulness and cause you to do the things I made you to do?" "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," Peter replied. "You know that I love you. Then feed my lambs." Jesus told him and repeated the question, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," Peter said. "You know that I love you. Then take care of my sheep." Jesus said a third time and asked him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt that he had asked this question a third time, and he said, "Lord, you know everything." He knew, didn't he? Jesus knew everything. "Lord, you know everything, and you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Then feed my sheep. I tell you the truth, that when you were young, you were able to do as you liked and dress yourself and went wherever you wanted to go. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and others will dress you and take you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to let him know by what kind of death he would glorify God. Then Jesus said to him, "Follow me. Follow me. Do you love me?" This is what our walk with God is all about. Is do we love Him? And really, do we love Him enough to get through ourself and our self failures to keep doing the thing that we're made to do? Not the thing we feel most comfortable doing or we feel qualified to do, but the thing He made us to do. The thing that He made us to do should bring glory to Him. Right? It should bring glory to Him. And He's saying to you, to me today, do you love me more than these? Are you willing to abandon the things that give you comfort, abandon the things that make you feel qualified to do the things that God called you to do, even in the midst of your own unfaithfulness? Even though you've blown it, are you willing? Are you able? Do you have a love relationship with God in a way that you can trust Him, that His eyes are not looking at you with condemnation and failure and the disappointment, but His eyes are looking at you with hope, with encouragement, with faith in what He is doing through your life, what He has done in your life, what He's committed to finish in your life, even if you fail? Can you turn these things aside and abandon your fishing job, whatever that is, right? Whatever that means to you. And let that failure just be another part of the great redemption story that is Jesus. Right? I mean, any of us could have been on that list in Matthew chapter 1. Right?
I mean, if somebody was really looking at everything you and I have ever done in secret or in public,
right?
And they made a list of just the highlights, we'd fit right in with those guys, wouldn't we?
If we're being honest. And God, even though He knows that, still wants to use you. It's never too late. Right? It's never too late. In 2 Corinthians 6:1, it says that as God's partners, His co-workers, we beg you not to accept this marvelous gift of God, God's kindness, and then ignore it. This is in the context of Him saying, you and I, in 2 Corinthians 5, He says that we are ambassadors of Christ, called to this ministry of cultivating reconciliation with one another. That's what we're called to do, right? That's an amazing partnership that God destined for us. And you and I have to see that in our unfaithfulness, God still wants us to be His ambassadors. God still wants us to be cultivators of reconciliation, bringing people to Him, right? And He calls us His partners. And in other versions, it says co-workers or co-laborers. What? Okay, God, the ultimate faithful God, wants to work with unfaithful people? Yeah. He does that to glorify Himself, to show how much He really loves us, and that it's not about you and it's not about me, but it's about Him, and it's about how good He really is and how sovereign He is. It never ends. His sovereignty never ends. His plan, the gates of hell will not prevail over it. Your unfaithfulness will not prevail over God's plan, over God's sovereignty, over His faithfulness. And you and I, we get this great opportunity to be His partners in the midst of this whole journey. Because in that, we get to grow closer to Him and become more like Him. This is part of the sanctification process. Us becoming more like Christ by God's sovereign plan. Wow, wow, wow. How awesome is that? I just think it's so cool to think about myself as a partner with God. It's humbling. It humbles me. But the thing that God doesn't want us to see is shame, guilt, and condemnation. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is no condemnation for those who are found in Christ Jesus, who belong to Christ Jesus. No condemnation. How is that possible? Because when Jesus looked at Peter in his worst sin, He didn't look at him with condemnation. He looked at him with hope, with vision, with power. He goes, oh, Peter, guess what? I'm going to send the Holy Spirit and rock your world. And you're going to do stuff you never thought was possible. I'm going to do a movement of love for your life. It's going to be awesome. And He knew it because He knows the end. He knows what He's going to do through you. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't get discouraged in your unfaithfulness, because God is faithful. Trust in His faithfulness. Trust in His faithfulness. Amen. Even when we are unfaithful, He is faithful. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You're so faithful. You're so good. Do whatever you want to do in us, God. Have your way in us. Have your way in us. Help us, God, to continue to see what you see. Your eyes of love and hope and vision for us as people. To live in the reward of righteousness, God. Fulfilling your purposes, God, even when we blow it, you redeem it, and you can make it right, and you keep moving us forward and your kingdom forward, because you're that good, and you know. So we honor you today, we love you today, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Hey, I love you today. You are beautiful. I'm telling you, you're beautiful. Enjoy your week. Pursue His love. And remember, He is always faithful. God bless you. We'll see you next week.
Your love never fails, and it ever gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love.